to direct your thought pattern and what's going on with you, you're not going to be able to think right. You're not going to come to the right conclusions. You're not going to reach the right answers because you're continually going to be affected by what that mentality is just not right. It's not thinking correctly. It's not thinking in faith. You see, God wants us to think right so that we can be right.
Right.
Because if we think right, we'll be right with Him. Because if we find ourselves out of the will of God, we'll repent over it and we'll make it right. If we find ourselves crossways with this book, if we're in our right mind, we won't just continue to live that life that's crossed with this book, but we will live according to His precepts if we're in our right mind. I want to be in my right mind today. I want to have a mind that's correct according to this book. I want the blessings of God. How about you? I don't want the curse of the things in this Bible that are things that are evil upon ourselves. I want the blessings of God. There's so many blessings that I will never have if my mind is not right. If my thinking is not correct. If I'm not with the right attitude. Come on. If I don't have the right attitude. So many people are beset because their attitude is not right with God. And it's not even the right way to think. They don't even think correctly.
True.
With the right thinking process.
True.
Amen.
True.
But if we can get people to understand that this, that line yourself up with the precepts of this book. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That tells us there's a right way to think.
Right.
There's a right way to behave ourselves. There's a right way to conduct ourselves. There's a right way to live. Come on, there's a right way to live and a wrong way to live.
Right.
There's a way to have true faith, and there's a way to just kind of fumble our way through life, never establishing our spiritual goings. I thank God that He establishes our goings.
Right.
Hallelujah to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Looking at the story, I find it interesting because when I look at the story of Elijah, I look at a man that it's obvious that in the story of Elijah, he did always seemingly have the favor of God and the power of God. Why? Because his mindset was right. But even a man as anointed and as powerful as Elijah was finds himself in this story. Even after what God just gave him in terms of a great victory. God uses him for a great victory, and then he prophesies about rain. The rain comes. It looks like everything's going to go in the direction that he envisioned that it would go in his mind, I'm sure. Come on, let's be real with one another, because we envision in our mind how things are going to go.
Right.
When this thing gets good, when God is having his way, and we're thinking, well, this is going to happen like this, and it's going to line up like that. But that's not what happened in the story of Elijah. It didn't happen the way his mind told him it ought to work. Instead of being in a situation where now God is being exalted and God is being praised and everything is set in order, instead of it being like that, he gets one nasty letter from Jezebel that changed his mindset completely, totally, even though he was continuously before this time, he was in his right mind. But suddenly he finds himself and he's no longer in his right mind.
Right, right. He's been turned.
Let's read it again. Let's go back to verse 3. And he saw that, and he arose, and he went for his wife, and he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went into a day's journey into the wilderness, and he sat under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. You see, one of the problems that when we get out of our true right mind is we begin to think we know answers that we don't really know.
Amen.
He began to put himself in the position of God. I think it's all over with. I think God's had his way with me. God's through with me. And I'm no better than my fathers. And it's time to give up the ghost. It's time to die. So pitiful me, Lord, I just want you to take me on. Let me tell you something. Pity is never the place that you want to be because it's never the right mindset. God wants us to have the mindset of understanding faith and direction. And God gave this man direction. I'm here to stand in this pulpit and tell you that God has given this church direction. The question is, are we going to be in our right mind? Again, I'm not talking about the absence of a mental issue. I'm saying, are we in our right mind? Are we full of faith? Are we full of the promises of God? Are we full of the hope? Are we full of the resurrection power?
Amen. Man.
Or are we saying, hey, Lord, I'll just be glad when it's all over with. Come get me, Jesus. And we all think that to ourselves at times. Because we don't want the fight. We don't want the struggle. And he didn't want it either. But you've got to say, hey, I might not want the struggle or I don't want the threat. And what he was dealing with was a threat. And it's amazing that he would allow that threat, as powerful as he was, that he would allow that one threat to influence his thinking to where he's no longer thinking in faith. He's no longer thinking about what's God going to do next. He's now thinking, Lord, it's all over. I've done my little good. I've had my little time of success in the kingdom. Oh no, my friend, our mindset has to be, we are just getting started for God. We're just getting this thing started right now. It's not time to say, hey, well, we've had our little time. It's over with now. So, where do we find that? Where do we find him? Where do we find him? We find himself in a place of self-pity.
Right.
We find him in a place that there's no faith coming out of him, even though he has the power to call down fire out of heaven, but he's in a pity party.
Yep, yep.
And I'm not trying to come down on him. I'm trying to tell you that every last one of us, me included, can get the wrong mindset. We can get out of having the mindset of faith. I'm telling you, every last one of us can get in our situation and get inside of our flesh because our flesh is the problem.
Right.
When I look at the mirror today, I look at the biggest problem for the brand that I've got. It's not my wife. It's not anybody else. It's not my job. It's not anything else. The biggest problem that I have is the flesh wants to take control.
Right.
The flesh wants to do the thinking. The flesh wants to rule. And the flesh will never think right.
Amen.
It will never lead us down the right path. He says, he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked and beheld there was a cake baking on the coals and the cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and he laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came to him a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meal 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And you have to stop and you ask yourself, why? Elijah, you have got your answer, man. You just got your answer because angels have been sent to you to minister to you, to give you the strength that you would not otherwise have in your pity party. God has not forsaken you, even though you don't have the right mindset. God has not thrown you to the side and said, well, Elijah was good for a while, but I guess he's not going to be any good to me anymore. I guess Elijah's all over with. No, Elijah, and there's an angel standing before you to make sure that you have the strength that you need. And I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell this church that there's angels standing by to make sure that we're not capable of doing, but He's given us the strength in the middle of what He has provided. Strength enough for the journey. Strength enough for the task. Strength enough to see that we get the job done. But you see, Elijah, there's other things that God has called you to do. I'm here to tell us every last one, there are other things that the Lord has called us to do. Elijah, you don't stop now just because you feel like it's over with. You're not in the place of God. If we're not in the place of God, we can't say anything, yay or nay. All that we can do is try to hear the voice of God and say, Lord, let me have a right mind. I want to think right. I want to think correct. I want to think with faith. I want to think with power. I want to think with anointing.
Amen.
I want to think right.
Amen.
But that's not what happened. It's amazing that here he has all of this encouragement. He even goes, can you imagine? It should have said to him, he just went 40 days and nights on the strength of one meal. How would you like to try that?
That was the Lord's prayer.
What does that say to you, Elijah? It says, while you say it's over, God said it's not over yet.
Right.
God's sending you life right in the midst of your death, right in the midst of your death wish. I thank God that sometimes when we get it wrong, that the grace of God comes to us in the midst of our trials and our tests. When the faith is not there, the encouragement is not there, the things that we need seemingly are not there, I thank God that He can come to us and will come to us.
Amen.
Until we can get it right.
Amen.
But the problem for Elijah, as powerful as he is, he still don't have it right. Even with angels ministering to him, he still doesn't have it right. What he should have said is, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do. I'm here to tell you that the messages that we hear preached to us are trying to get us to a place out of our pity and out of our bad mindset and into a right mind that says, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to go where you say go. I want to live the life that you want me to live. I don't want to live the life of the past, but you redeemed me, Lord, and I want to be faithful to you.
Amen.
There's something yet to do. What would you have me to do? But those words never came out of his mouth. So what does he do? And the Bible said he came thither unto a cave, and he lodged there. He lodged in a cave. He lodged in a place of darkness. He lodged in a place where there is no faith. He lodged in a place where there is no encouragement. I'm always worried about people when they come to the house of God with the blessings and the angels and the power of God, and they retreat into their own personal cave of darkness and pity, and they don't see the power and the glory of God that's available to them. But they're in the cave, and the only thing that's there is a lack of faith and a lack of love and a lack of obedience.
Amen.
You see, they use caves for burial places.
Yeah.
It's the last place you want to be. Elijah, for some reason, you're forced to push the issue, even in the face of grace. You're forcing to push the issue when grace is there to say, hey, God is not done with you. It's not time to die. The Lord is telling you it's time to live. You've got something very important to do.
Right.
You got to anoint a king. And there's also a person that's going to come after you. Your successor has to have the anointing. He has to hear your voice. He has to have your direction.
Right.
And yet here you sit in a cave where there is no anointing to be heard. There is anointing not to be felt in a cave. There is no anointing there. But yet, if you get out of your cave, if you get out of the place of dwelling where there's no anointing and there's no power and there's no rejoicing and there's no joy and there's no peace, if you get out of the cave, you'll find that God is still the God, the same God that brought me on the fire. He's still the same God that brought me on the fire. He's still God, the same God. brought the rain.
Amen.
You'll find He's still the same God that you turned to Ahab and said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain.
Amen.
You'll find that He still is the same God. But He'll be a God you don't even recognize as long as you stayed in the cave. And listen, let's just take a look at what He said. And the Lord said, what dost thou here, Elijah? It really hit me today. Watch what He says. He says this, and He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, pitiful little I, only, am left, and they seek my little life to take it away.
Yeah. God said,
what does God say?
In the first place, when you think about that answer, it has nothing to do with what He just asked you.
Nope.
He asked you, what are you doing in this cave?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so zealous of the work of God.
Yeah.
I'm so zealous about what God is doing. I'm upset because all these men are under threat and I am only left and all of these things are going on and Lord, it's all out of your control now.
Yeah.
I guess it's, you're stuck by little old me, Jesus.
Yeah. That's our attitude. Jesus, that's our attitude.
Lord, you stuck a little over me. I can't do much. About the same little bit. I give a little bit. I ain't much. Here I am.
All you got.
You stuck with me, Jesus. You stuck with me. No, that's the wrong mentality.
Yeah.
The attitude has got to be, Lord, because of your grace and because of your mercy, I'm coming to my senses and I'm coming out of this cave.
Yes.
Amen.
Because there's nothing in this cave. Listen to me. There's no blessing in the cave. There's no anointing in the cave.
Nope.
There's no joy in the cave. There's no peace in the cave. There's no deliverance in the cave. But outside the cave, where the living is, all of these things are found in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
So mentality, or the question we come back to, is my mind really right? Is my mind really right? And we read the story about how He begins to deal with him.
Yes.
And He said in verse 14, and I have been jealous for the Lord of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek to take my life and take it away. He's asked you a question, and you go off on a diatribe of things that don't even matter. They're not even relevant to what He asked you, which is, why are you in the cave? Because Elijah, you know there's no blessing in the cave.
Right.
Elijah, you know too much to be in this cave. Come on now, I'm in the Holy Ghost right now.
Amen.
Somebody's in the cave I'm talking to tonight, and you know there's no blessing in the cave. You know that what you're looking for is not in the cave. So the Lord's asking you the question, why are you in the cave when the joy and the victory and the peace is outside the cave? And I've already given you angels. I've already given you angelic hosts. I've already given you the blessings. I've already given you something sustenance to make it on.
Right. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
said to him, Go, return thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Japheth of Amoah shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. But watch verse 18. Let's get down to verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. All the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. I got something exciting to tell you, and that is God always has something in reserve. I'm here to tell you, I don't care how bad it gets, I don't care how things don't go your way, God, Sister Taylor, always has something in reserve. You may not see it, you may not know it's there, but God always has a blessing in reserve. Hallelujah. I said God always has something in reserve. And he said, hey, while you had your pity party, I want you to know I've got something reserved for me. I got something reserved for me. The great thing about God is he doesn't just have something reserved for him, but he has something reserved for you and I. Hallelujah. I said he has something reserved for us. He has something reserved. Hallelujah. There's a joy, there's a peace, there's a deliverance in the reserves of heaven. Hallelujah. When I think heaven's all tapped out, when I think I got my last blessing, there's a reserve there for me and for you. Interesting thing about this story, and I'm closing. I thought about this. You know, if you've ever heard me say this, but I'm going to make a public acknowledgement. I do believe that I have a gift, one gift of the Spirit. I want the Lord to give me more, but I do believe I have one gift that I can identify and say I believe that that gift operates in my life. And that's the gift of the word of knowledge.
Yeah.
It's not the greater gift, because the gift of faith would be better. The gift of miracles would be better. But it's still an important gift. Why? Because it identifies things that need to be identified.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
The Lord has spoken to me on at least one or two occasions that I can think of. And he said to me, the spirit of intimidation and the spirit of demoralization is running rampant in the earth right now.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, why is that important? Because you need to know what you're up against when you deal with people in this world. It's nothing but an identification, but it's an important identification. Why? It helps me know I pray.
Amen.
So that when I pray for you or I pray for somebody, I can identify the source of the issue and the problem. We need the gifts and operation in the Spirit like never before.
Amen.
The Bible says we're to seek, we're to keep seeking. If you got them, just ask for God for more. We desperately need the move of God in the supernatural realm.
Amen.
That we just can't explain. How'd you get that? I don't know how I got that. Lord, just get it to me. That, you know what I'm saying? Where the Lord moves in operation. And there's no telling here in this small number.
Yes.
Probably you, the gift of faith, if not operate, wants to operate.
Mm-hmm.
And the gift of miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And the gifts of healing.
Yes.
wants to be in operation.
Yes.
We need this.
Amen.
Our world needs this.
Amen.
But we will never have this if we're, first of all, we're not in our right mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what the Bible says, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You see, he broke through the barrier of intimidation. Because it's intimidating to think about you having the power of God to do things. But he broke through the barrier.
Praise God. Amen.
The other thing besides, just to talk a little bit about demoralization so you understand what I'm talking about, how it works. When your demoralization is dispirited, when people are dispirited and discouraged, and there is a strong spirit in our day and our time of demoralization to dispirit them. I see that in our even in our public square, in our politics today. There was a time that we believed in the flag, we believed in the country, and we believed in a lot of things, and we had a patriotic spirit. You know, that's becoming harder and harder to find.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the tip of the iceberg, because below and deeper down, people are dispirited and discouraged about many things.
Uh-huh.
And you see, those are things that happen in life, but I'm talking about spirits of demoralization working in concert together to bring about a lack of faith. And what it brings, the number one thing that this demoralization spirit will bring about, and I don't really know, I haven't checked the statistics, but I got a sneaking suspicion that suicide rates are up.
Oh, they are.
Because demoralization causes people to give up and throw in the towel. So I'm nothing. I'm not claiming to be anything, but I'm telling you what the Lord told me. Why? Because he wants me to help to identify what's in the earth that we need to be praying against and going against aggressively. The spirit of demoralization, and revive that spirit and rebuke that spirit and work adamantly against that spirit of demoralization, because our God is still great and our God is still awesome and our God is still good.
Amen.
And he wants to break the chains in the box. He wants to give them deliverance. He wants people to be saved and have hope and peace and joy.
Amen.
But you gotta identify. So too, besides demoralization, is intimidation. Now, you know the interesting thing about intimidation has always been, at least as far as I can tell, when I study the Word of God, at least as far back as Goliath against the armies of the children of Israel. Here was this, was he 9 foot if I got it right?
Yep,
right?
Yep.
Thinking correctly?
Yep.
Here's this behemoth. And he's intimidating the armies of God. And only one young person says, "How dare you? Oh, how dare you? How dare you? Let a spirit of the Lord rise up among us." He said, "How dare you? You spirit of what's the word I just used?
Intimidation.
I'm getting old. That spirit cannot stand in the presence of the Lord. Because Jesus is greater than the spirit of intimidation. And he gave it to me to say, "Hey, son, it's time to preach this and have hope and show hope to a hopeless world that's intimidated." But here's the thing. It doesn't just go all the way back there. But listen to me. Even the early church faced the giant of intimidation. How do I know? Because the Bible said that they prayed a specific prayer one time. They said, "Lord, grant unto us boldness. Give us boldness, Lord. We need boldness because they understood in that day the things that the pressure of death and assassination and everything that was going against them. You think we got intimidation today. It's nothing compared to what they faced. They faced an unbelievable spirit of intimidation. But they did not let it defeat them. Do you hear me? I said they didn't let it defeat them, Brother Brand. Even in the face of death, they said no to the spirit of intimidation. I'm here to tell you, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, we're going to have to stand up to that spirit of intimidation. And there's a spirit that says, you better not preach this. You better not take a stand for that. You better not do this. You better not do that. But I'm here to tell the devil we're going to take a stand for that which is holy, that which is consecrated, that which is right, that which pleases God. We will not be intimidated. Hallelujah. We're not going to take intimidation.
Amen.
Now, the interesting thing as I close this story with Elijah was, here was the confluence of these two things coming together. Because he's demoralized by the fact that things did, the reason I believe he's demoralized is because things did not go, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the way he thought they would go.
Yeah.
And sometimes when things don't live up to our expectations, it causes us to be demoralized. To be dispirited, to be discouraged. So here comes the two together now. He's facing discouragement because it didn't go like he wanted it to go. And he's dispirited, but also at the same time, here is intimidation of a letter in Jezebel saying, I'm going to take you out, boy. I'm going to take you out. Watch and see if you're not just like those prophets that you took down. Watch and see. That old spirit of intimidation is alive and well. In the year 2024, as we come up to the coming of the Lord, that spirit of intimidation is joining with the spirit of demoralization to cause people to lose their hope, and the two together seem to be an unmovable object. But I'm here to tell you, we serve a God that is an unmovable, that is an irresistible force, and He's coming to get what the devil claims is an unmovable object. But the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God.
Amen.
It can't happen.
Right.
It can't happen.
Lord,
bless you. Stand for you.
Thank
you,
Jesus.
Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. How many want to be in your right mind?
Amen.
I'm going to be in my right mind
Amen.
When Jesus comes.
Amen.
If I'm in my right mind, I'm going to be doing the work of God.
Amen.
He said, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith? If I'm in my right mind, He's going to find faith.
Amen.
If I'm in my right mind, He's going to find that I love Him supremely. I want us to pray a dismissal prayer, but I want us also to combine that for praying for Sister Hagatha, this major health issue, and also for Sister Watson. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Lord, we come to you. Lord, we're thankful for your spirit, for your anointing, for your power. Lord, you've spoken to us and you've given us direction, Lord. You've encouraged us in the face of the enemy. Lord, your word says you prepare us a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Lord, the enemies are all about, but you are greater, so much greater. Lord, I pray for Sister Hagatha right now. The miracle be done. Lord, touch her miraculously, Lord. She needs to feel your presence. She needs to feel your power. She needs to feel your grace. I pray that she would feel your touch right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. In Jesus' name. Brother Watson, you got anything you want to say before we dismiss?
No,
Got a work day, right?
Work day Saturday.
This Saturday?